listening to the New Mamas Podcast, a Just Chatting episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the New Mamas Podcast. I'm your host, Lena Forstall, and today I thought I'd give a little life update on my thoughts going back to work. My maternity leave is almost over. The process of finding childcare slash being super transparent with you about the costs of childcare, what it looks like in my area. Gonna talk about a little bit of baby wearing, how much I've been loving it, and then also just how I'm managing as a mom of two now. I'm 3.5 months postpartum, so I feel like this is a good little update episode. I can't remember when my last update was. Honestly, the weeks have just been like flying by. Like every single, I think it's just like when you're kind of in survival mode, like not saying I'm in survival mode, but you know, when baby is like I do all of night shift because I night nurse. So it's just easier for me. Like in the beginning, John really helped out. He took that first shift. Ooh, I don't know if you can hear Evie. I have her in her little bouncer by the window with me, like right here on the desk. And she's suddenly unhappy. So one second.
Okay, I popped her on the boob. I think she was just hungry. I'm a little bit like far away from the mic. So hopefully you can all hear me still. So let's just get started. So I am 3.5 months postpartum. So Evie will be 4 months old on March 27th. Wow, time has gone by so fast. Like I said, I feel like the weeks just fly by because every day is like, I don't know, it's not survival mode because like I feel like I've had a really wonderful postpartum experience. If you follow me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is at Lena Forstall. I talk a lot about like how this time is just so different than my first time around, especially around mental health. Like I definitely feel like I was robbed my first time of like a nice postpartum slash newborn experience because of my crippling postpartum anxiety. If you look back in the archives of this podcast, I do talk about it pretty openly. I have some episodes dedicated to my postpartum anxiety journey and medication and getting help. So it's been very interesting to like have this whole journey of motherhood documented through the form of my podcasting. Like it's really fun to look back on. I'm very curious actually to listen back myself on like one of my earlier episodes just to see how far I've come. And it makes sense. I guess that's why they call it a motherhood journey. Like there is a start of it. And like, what would a journey slash, I feel like it should be called the motherhood adventure because what, you know, it's definitely not boring. Like an adventure is full of like twists and turns and plot twists and ups and downs. And yeah, in the last like 3.5 years of motherhood, there definitely have been so many of those ups and downs and twisties and turnies and plot twists and all of that. Wait, and then can I just share something kind of funny with you all? So I sometimes feel like I have it all together. And then sometimes I feel like I have nothing together. And this morning I just returned a book to the library that has been due to the library since last November. It is March 13th. So, and it's funny. It's like the stupidest book too. It's a kid's book. It was called Cowie Cow. And it was such a bad book. Archie hated it. And it just got lost in our pile of books. So if anyone feels like they don't have it together today, just remember that like I returned a book almost six months late. I don't know. I can't do math. But that gave me a chuckle this morning. So yeah, guys, I am going back to work soon. Actually, in like 1 month exactly, I will be back at work. I think my start date is April 15th. And so just to recap, my first time around was with Archie. I only had 6 weeks. So it was COVID time. So luckily I could work from home. I didn't have to go into an office or anything. But I went back to work when Archie was 6 weeks old. And it was crazy. And I had no help because, again, it was COVID. I think my mom like wanted to come up and help out, but like she couldn't because remember flights were weird, traveling was weird, like all of the rest stops, and they live in Florida, so they're kind of far from me. They can't just like pop on over. So I had no help. It was so miserable. My company was so unfriendly. It was bad. So this time around, I really feel like I deserved like this much time off. Because, you know, sometimes I did feel guilty sharing with people. Like, I have like 4 to 5 months off. It's all paid. I love my company, Cisco. Like, such a good company for working parents. They, year after year, get number one in the best company to work for. And also in any working parents categories, they always just smash it. And that goes for like their company culture too. Like, I know my team, like everybody has young kids. So we just like all get it. And we know like we're tired of seeing how like the system and the workforce just is not built for working parents and much less working mothers. There's all these like stigmas, right? It's different. Actually, John and I were talking about it the other day about how like a dad is seen differently than a mom in the workplace. Like if a dad is like married with kids, he's pictured as committed, reliable, a family man, like all these like really positive values, while women slash moms are seen as like, oh, she's going to always be the default parent. She's going to take a lot of time off. She's going to be distracted. Like that just sucks. But it's kind of the unfortunate reality. So I don't know. I feel like part of my like my life goal is to break a lot of those stigmas. And yeah, I'm going to try to change things, you know. And I think there's a lot of women doing that. Like I know one of the women at my company, she's like a higher level executive and she's breastfeeding on calls. Like obviously you can't see her breasts, but she's like, doesn't like her nanny comes in, hands her the baby. She breastfeeds. The camera is like pointed towards her face. Doesn't miss a beat, I heard. I've never been in a meeting with her, but like people have been like, she doesn't miss a beat. Feeds her baby, gives the baby back to the nanny. Wow. Like that is amazing. And like what a beautiful example to newer moms out there like me who do want it all. Like I'm out here girl bossing, like as much as I like hate the whole girl boss like culture and I've actively tried to take so many steps back, I feel like it's just like built into my DNA. Like I just like love to work. I love to make money. I love the hustle. Oh my gosh. It like fills me with so much adrenaline. And guys, I love being a mom too. Like, don't get me wrong. And I do want to talk about in this episode, like how much I do love being a mom, because I had like this feeling this morning too. Like, as I mentioned, Evie is 3 to 4 months old. So like she's really getting into like that infant stage, like more of an infant, and just like so cute. Like they are so stinking cute. Oh my God. It's like the best. I think it's the best stage in like babying. Like she's just so cute. Like her face is fuller. She's like got little rollies. Like she's just so freaking cute. And I love her. Oh, and the head. Oh my gosh. I love it when they're like 3 to 4 months old and they finally have control of their head a little bit more. Like they're just less fragile and wobbly. And like even baby wearing like the wrap, the Solly wrap, I like couldn't figure out for the life of me when she was smaller. And I was almost about to sell it. And then now that she's a bit like thicker and more solid, I used the wrap the other day and it was so like such a different experience. Like it was like, ah, so nice to have her nice and close. So yeah, I just love this stage so much. And I've been solo parenting a lot lately. Like John has been doing private lessons. Like he's a music teacher, right? And he's also teaching guitar privately. So I've been doing some more solo parenting, which at first sounds insane with like a 3 month old and a 3.5 year old, almost 4 year old, but it actually hasn't been so bad. Oh, okay. So I'm going to like jump around all over the place. I think in this episode, like I'll talk about managing life as a mama too. I'll talk about going back to work. I'll like kind of just mesh it all together in the flow of conversation. Remember these episodes, pretend I'm a mom friend leaving you the longest voice note of your life, which actually like I do leave my friends long voice notes. Like sometimes I leave them like 12 minute voice notes and I'm always like apologizing profusely. I'm always like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I know this is 12 minutes long because I just get like talking and rambly. I was one of those kids. I mean, I was like a really good kid, but I definitely got in trouble for talking in class. And
yeah, I guess like I was born to be a podcaster, guys.
Okay, so solo parenting. I will asterisk this with solo parenting is not insane because my son also goes to preschool. So I am sure things would be so much different if he was home all day, but he goes to full-time preschool. So he's in at 9:30 and he gets out anywhere between 4:30 and 5:30. We usually pick him up around 4:30, but it's open until 6. So some days have been 5:30 nights and it's fine. He loves it. He has all his friends. He's been at the same place since he was 7 months old, which sounds like really young, but he has made like these lifelong friends and not lifelong. Well, I mean, it's like his whole life right now, but he's made these like really good friends and it almost feels like a little family there. Like it fills my heart knowing that like he's so excited to go to school every day to see all of his friends. And he's always talking about his friends. And I'm actually like low-key worried when he graduates from preschool and goes to kindergarten because, yeah, he's going to have a whole new group of friends. And I think that's going to be really shocking. Like, think about it. Since he was 7 months old, he's been with the same group of kids. And of course, like new kids, like old kids have left, new kids have come in, but like he still has his little core group of friends that have been there since the beginning. So I think that's going to be shocking and it's going to be hard for like my little mommy heart too. Actually, we did try to enroll him in public preschool in our district because it's like a wait list. And I did it because obviously I want to save some money. I pay right now $1,300 a month for Archie's private preschool program. And it's like, I think it's worth it, obviously. Like I would rather work and pay for childcare. And now let's like dive into the whole childcare discussion right now. I would rather work and pay for childcare than be at home all day with my kids. I'm really sorry. I said what I said. You know what? I'm not sorry because I don't think it's everyone is built for that life. And I appreciate and respect women who do it. I have a lot of friends that are stay-at-home moms and they have all their kids with them up until kindergarten and like bless you, you are amazing. And some women, like I said, are built for it. I am not. And that is okay. But so anyway, I pay $1,300 a month for Archie's private preschool program. Now, public school would go to $0 and that would be a huge, huge savings. Like I always joke that I will feel so rich when I do not have that preschool bill. And I feel like that I'm trying to just think like positive thoughts, Lena. Let's not think about how much money you're spending. Let's think about how much money like you will have when he's in real school. Anyway, long story short, we didn't get into our public preschool district. We were waitlisted. And then they sent out like a new postcard to like re-enroll. I don't know. What's the point of a waitlist if you have to re-enroll? But so they sent it out and we got the postcard on the day that registration closed. So we missed the deadline. And so John, my husband, got like super pissed and he like called the district and then he called the superintendent because, you know, he's in the school system too. So he understands how all this works. He called the superintendent and he like was like, what the heck? Like, what's going on? Like, I pay taxes. I've been living here for so many years. Like, what's the deal? And the superintendent was like, sorry, we already picked the kids who are going to our public preschool program this fall. So it will be another year of paying for private preschool. And as much as it like hurts my wallet and makes me like sad face on my money, it makes me like I kind of feel a little bit of relief to, if I'm going to be super honest, because it means my like precious little boy like gets to spend the last year of his preschool program with a teacher and teachers that he loves. He actually said he wanted to invite them to his birthday party, which like is so sweet, but I would not subject his teachers to a like work on a Saturday, but to hang out with kids that they, you know, but it's super cute. Like the fact that he wants to invite them to his birthday party is a testament to how much he loves his teachers. And his preschool, like they focus on outside, they go outside, the teachers bring him on the nature trail. It's like so positive, and I've seen so many positive like changes in him and developmental changes in him from him being around like his other kids and then teachers that like know what they're doing. Because that's the other thing. If he was home with me all day, I just wouldn't know what to do with him. I don't have any early childhood education. I don't really know. I would do the best I could, of course, but who knows? But so anyway, Evie, my little Evie girl. So I go back to work in a month and I was kind of stressing. Like I posted on a few Facebook groups like, hey, looking for childcare. So I know that a private... So, okay. Wow. Let me back up. So I could either go daycare with her, right? At 3 or 4 months. 4 months when she'll be 4 months when I go back to work. So I can either pay for private daycare, right? Or I could pay for nannying or like a babysitter, or I can juggle and keep her at home with me while I work. The last one sounds insane. I have done it before. I did it with Archie. As I mentioned, the first time around postpartum, it was COVID and I juggled him and my work, like and my job until 7 months. So that's when I put him in private school. That was insane. And I don't want to do that because you just end up feeling like a crappy mother and an even crappier employee or whatever, even crappier mother or like crappy employee. Because the fact is you can't give 100% to your job while also giving 100% to your child. And that was a really hard lesson for me to learn. So I'm going to be paying for childcare. It seems like from my research that a babysitter/nanny is between $25 or $22 an hour to upwards of $35 an hour. And I am willing to pay and I am able to pay $35 an hour for 3 days for 5 hours a day. I did the math and it's like that's like as much as I can afford. And I'm willing to pay someone a little extra if they help out around the house. And I know that's like a hot button issue for a lot of people. Now, when I hire someone, I will make it upfront that like this is part of the duties. This is why I'm paying so much because I do want help with the dishes. I do want you to empty the dishwasher. I do want you to like, you know, bottle parts, like wash, sanitize all the bottle parts, binkies, and do kid laundry. Like that is part of the job responsibilities. And of course, like I'm sure there's some form of negotiation involved. Like if 35 isn't enough, okay, like we'll see. But I'm only doing 5 hours a day because I work West Coast hours. So I can kind of juggle her in the morning until West Coast wakes up. And then when John gets home, so it's like 11 a.m. to like 4 p.m. is when I'm looking for someone. So that's 5 hours, right? Yeah. I'm looking for that 5 hours of like solid work time. The other hours, so of course it's like an 8 hour day I work, like the other 3 hours I usually wake up super early before my kids. Like that's what I did before Evie was born. Like I was waking up super early, cranking out work, like, you know, being because before Evie was born, I was using that time in the morning to go work out. But this time, yeah, no work. I don't know when I'm going to work out. I'm just going to, I guess, not do that for now for the time being or just do an at-home program. Sorry if I'm rambling and talking fast. It's because Evie's on the floor right now and I don't know how long I have until she starts crying. Obviously, she's on a mat. Like, I don't just have her like on the floor. I put her on a play mat and I put little toys next to her. So she's like entertained. I fed her, changed her diaper, but I don't know how long I have until she freaks out. So I'm trying to talk really fast and fit this all in. I don't know, but I forget the math. But the math on like having private care. Actually, let me do the math right now. Okay, so I quickly did the math. So $35 an hour times 5 hours times 3 days a week times 4 weeks, so that's a month, was $2,100. Plus $1,300 for daycare. That's $3,400 for childcare for both kids. Guys, that's an astronomical amount of money. Don't you think so? Like, how do families do it? Like, I feel like John and I are doing like pretty well. Like, we both have full-time jobs. We both have like respectable, nice job, whatever. Like, we both do well. But like, that's a lot of money. That's just childcare. That's not like
food and other, like, mortgage and other expenses. Like, if you add in our mortgage, and it's $3,400 is definitely more than our mortgage. So it's just crazy. I don't know how other families do it, especially families who do it. Well, I imagine that's why a lot of women leave the workforce, because I feel like if I were to have one more kid, I don't think we could do it. I mean, probably by the time we had one, that other kid, Archie would have moved on to public school, so we wouldn't be paying anymore. So maybe in a way it's doable. But can you imagine a family, and maybe you're listening, maybe you are one of these families that crank out your kids like one after another, which I think is wonderful. And like, I kind of wanted to do, but you know, the universe just didn't, the God, whatever, the plan didn't really work out that way for me. How do you afford it? Like, how do you afford childcare for three kids? Like, I think two is max, if you don't have help around, of course, which we don't. And I think that's a huge part of it, is we don't have family close by, aunts, uncles, like mom, dad, grandparents that can come and help us. And I think that's, yeah, that's just part of it. Like, family planning. Like, my grandmother was, every time she calls me, like every time I talk to her, she's really old school. She's always like, oh, you have two kids. Like, that's so wonderful. Now you have to have one more and then another one. Like, she, in her vision for me, I have four kids. Like, in her vision of how my life should go, I have four kids. But I just don't, we just don't have the support to have four kids. And of course, do people do it with a lot less? Yes. But we have a choice. If we have a choice in this, like, we'd rather not, because it's a big stress on your marriage too. Like, right now at two, I feel like when I solo parent, I let John do his thing. He lets me do my thing. Like, that's our relationship. Is I obviously, no relationship, no marriage is perfect, but ours works because we both let each other have our time. Now, does he, you know, assume more that I'm the default parent and sometimes take gigs or do things or say yes to things without consulting me because he just assumes I'm going to be around? Yes. And that is the source of a lot of our, you know, squabbles sometimes, is like, hey, what if I had plans? Like, you can't just like say yes to this thing on the weekend, is like assuming I'm going to be home. We have to talk about it. He's gotten a lot better over the years, but yeah, that's been a source of a lot of squabbles because mommy is always the default parent. And, you know, I can't fault him. Society is just built like that sometimes. I feel, I'm not giving him like a way out. I'm just saying that I have empathy, or whatever the word is. I'm understanding of why he does that. He doesn't mean to do that. He's not like doing it maliciously. And it's also just a model that he grew up with. Like, his dad worked full time. His mom was a stay at home mom, and she was the default parent. So, you know, I get it. Our family system is not like that. Like, we both work and things are more like 50-50. So yeah. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah. I was saying how, like, it's just really hard to have more than one or two kids without any, you know, local family support, or without like $1 million, because that's the other thing. I feel like we could have more kids if one of us was like really raking in the dough and could afford like full-time help. We can't. So that's the end of that. But yeah, I wanted to be like super transparent about costs and daycare costs, because I'm always curious like what other people pay. Like, I hope that's not tacky. I was at a birthday party this weekend, and like someone, this gal was saying, she's like, oh yeah, we pay a fortune for my daughter's childcare. Like, thank God she's going to preschool, kindergarten next year. And I was like, oh, how much do you pay? I don't know if she was like caught off guard or not. Like, I hope it wasn't like a rude like question to ask. I'm just curious, because daycare / preschool, private preschool, can range anywhere from like $900 to $2,000 or more, depending where you are in the country. And just a reminder, I'm in New Jersey, so that's like East Coast, like pretty metropolitan. I mean, I'm in the country, but I'm still like, I'm an hour from New York City, guys. So like, I take country with like a grain of salt. Like, yes, I live rural. I have a farm. We live in a like rural district, but we also still are 1 hour from New York City. So obviously prices are going to be higher here. Oh yeah. Let's go back to solo parenting. Okay. So solo parenting, with two kids has not been bad. And my asterisk that I already cover this is that the reason why it's not so bad is because Archie is almost four. Now at four, like cognitively, he's just so much more understanding. We can negotiate. I can tell him, for example, I can have him downstairs and like put on the TV and say, Archie, mommy's going to give Evie a bath and put her to sleep. And when I'm done, I'm going to come down and we can play. Can you watch TV here by yourself? And he says, yes. And he's fine. He plays in like the, we don't have a playroom. Our living room is the playroom. So he plays in the living room. He colors, he draws, he watches TV. Like I set him up with all the good stuff. And I know like maybe anti-screen time mamas out there are like, oh my gosh, how dare you put your toddler in front of the TV? Guys, it's survival, okay? When you're, especially when you're solo parenting and you need them to just like stay entertained, the TV is the way. I have no shame around it because we really do limit it. Like he has a tablet, he doesn't play on it often. We have Tonys, we do Tonys. Like I feel like we really do have a good balance between screen time, Tonys, no screen time, no nothing. Like we have a good balance. So I'm not upset about it. But he's old enough to understand when I have to do stuff. And that is really, well, sometimes, like I will say, he's understanding to a point. When he gets home from school, it's been hard. That's the maybe the hardest transition we've had is when he comes home from school. When he comes home from school, it's like he wants all the attention. And I understand, I know there's like a whole thing of like how they like hold it in all day at school. And then when they come home, they like want to release and they want to like release everything they've been holding in. Like I forget the terminology for it, but I know it's like a thing. But and while I'm like I understand that and I want to be there for my baby, my toddler, my kid, it's also just like it's a critical time when I have to like put stuff away, start dinner, you know, that little like transition from like day to dinner. It takes like I need a minute to like empty the dishwasher, put in the dishes, put a stove, like, you know, get things ready for dinner. So I've been trying to practice with him. Hey, buddy, like when mommy and daddy come home from school, we need a minute to like clean up and get things settled and get ready for dinner. And then we can play. So that has taken a little bit of work because, like I said, I think they come back from school and they're emotional and they're tired and they like, you know, want. So we try. We do our best. Like sometimes one of us will, if both of us are home, one of us will play with him. One of us will have the, I'm usually like baby wearing by that time. And then like putting away, by the way, people who say they get so much done baby wearing, who are you and how do you do it? Because I don't know about you, but it's really hard for me to like lean over and like empty the dishwasher with a baby. I don't know. It's like a lot. Like I feel bad. It's like taking her on a roller coaster ride. Anyway, solo parenting, it's good because he's older. I think it all worked out for our family. I wanted my kids closer together. If I did it when we were planning it, they would have been closer to like 2 years apart, which I know like a lot of parents want that. But the way it shook out for us, they are 3.5 years apart. But I think it kind of worked out because he's old enough to like be independent. Like this morning, he gets dressed for the most part by himself. Like he needs a little bit of help here and there. Like this morning, he put his underwear on backwards. And wait, can I tell you something funny? The other day, I legitimately sent Archie to school with his pants on backwards because he put his pants on by himself, right? And he put them on backwards. So like the back pockets were in his front. And I was like, oh my God, buddy, like good job. You put your pants on by yourself. That was so good. But they're backwards. So mommy will fix them. Like I said, I will fix them. Like, you know, when we're about to go, like, cause in the mornings I'm solo. So I'm changing her out of her like night pajamas. I'm changing her diaper, getting her out of her sleep sack, getting him dressed, getting myself dressed, washing my face, putting on my contacts. Like it's a whole little dance in the morning that I have down to a science, but it's still a dance. But so I forgot to switch the pants like from backwards to forwards. So I sent him to school with backwards pants. But But no, it's funny every time I do something like that, because I got so used to telling him that, like, pregnancy brain, I kept telling him, like, the baby is making mommy's brain crazy. Now he'll like keep saying it. He'll be like, mommy, Evie's making your brain crazy. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? You're not wrong. My brain is crazy. So yeah, the nighttime flow is actually pretty chill when I solo parent. I put her down by 6:30. Now, this week was daylight savings time, so that kind of changed a little bit because her room doesn't have blackout shades yet, and the sunset, like, you can see the sunset from her room, so her room is super bright now at 6:30, so I don't know what to do. Last couple nights, I've been putting them both down, like, together, which has not been ideal, but which means I've been trying to push his bedtime to the earlier side, and then her bedtime got a little later so they could be smushed together. So yeah, like last night I gave them both a bath at the same time. I'll put her in her little tub and he'll be in the big tub, and it's like kind of funny. It's funny because when you fill up the bath and you have like the little tub in there, the tub like will start to float and it's chaotic. So do not do that. But yesterday, actually, or the day before, I forget, I didn't do that. I like gave her a quick bath and then I emptied it and then I like filled up his bath. But and then he'll do his bath by himself. I'm still around. I can hear him. He's not gonna drown. I'm like right there. Like, our house is small, so like I can be in like her room, I can be in their room, and I can still have a direct line of sight into the bathroom. So I feel like I always have to like make, I always have to tell you guys this because I always get like weird messages from people about like how bad of a mom I am sometimes. It's cool, guys. You know, just listen with a grain of salt. Like, I don't want to yuck your yum. If you do things differently, it's cool. I do things differently. How boring would it be if we were all the same? We're not. And I'm still safe and a good mom. So anyway, so while he's doing his bath, I will feed her, and I usually like nurse to sleep. So I'll feed her like final feed of the night, not of the night, because I nurse all night still, but like the final feed of like the big chunk of the beginning of the night, and she'll fall asleep. I'll put her in her bassinet and then she'll sleep, and then I'll go back into the bathroom, finish up his bath, bring him into the bedroom, give him his milk. I still do milk at night. I know he's 3.5. I feel better giving him milk at night because it's like fat, and Archie is so lean that I'm like, I feel like I need you to have like a little last bit of calories before the night ends, because he's lean. He's normal. Every time we go to the doctor, like, he's normal size, growing normally, whatever, but he's just really lean. I don't know. It makes me like, makes me nervous. So I give him milk at night. It has electrolytes. It has, you know, fluids. So if he hasn't drank enough at school, I know he's getting like this last bit of hydration. So yeah, that's why I still do milk at night. And he likes it. It's like nice and warm. And like, you know, it's part of like that bedtime routine we have. We do a couple books and then lights out, and I lay with him to fall asleep. And then that's it. And then once he's asleep, I either stay up, if it's still late, I'll stay up and John and I will watch a show, or I'll just go into my bedroom. Like, if John's not home yet or something, I'll go into, not my bedroom, but I'll go into the nursery where Evie is, because I've been sleeping there in a twin bed that it's supposed to be Archie's bed. But oh yeah, that's the other fun thing I was telling someone the other day, was someone was asking how it's going, how is sleep. And I was like, well, to be honest, like, John and I don't sleep in the same bed. And I feel like at first that sounds really like taboo. There must be trouble in paradise, but there isn't. Like, John and I just, we know that this is like the stage of our lives where like we are not sleeping in the same bed, and it's fine. Like, Archie sleeps with John because, remember, we bed share with Archie. So John and Archie sleep in our bed, like the big grown-up bed, and then I sleep in the nursery / kids room in the twin bed that's supposed to be Archie's, and then Evie sleeps in a bassinet. So we're kind of going to bed in two different places, and I thought by now maybe I would have migrated back into the big bedroom and like brought Evie's bassinet into the room and we could all sleep together in one place. But it's just, can you hear her? She's like, I think, getting a little impatient in the background. Okay, I grabbed her. She's doing a great job. Like, this whole time she's been like on the playmat on the floor here in the office with me while I record this, and she's been so good. She's my happy, chill girl. Archie would have never, I got nothing done with him. Also because he just required so much attention. And again, I think that was partially like
my, like, trying to figure it out as a new mom. But then he, I think his temperament is a little bit more, like, sensitive and clingy and, like, needing entertainment always. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, sleep. So, yeah, I think, like, John and I just made the, you know, executive, like, almost silent exception, like, acceptance that this is just a stage of our life right now, and it's fine. It doesn't mean we don't love each other. It doesn't mean we can't be intimate. Like, it just means that we're literally sleeping in different places. So, yeah, it's fine. I want to normalize that for anyone listening, and they think, like, you know, maybe this is their reality too, and they're feeling a certain way about it. Like, let's just normalize it, because it's not a big deal, guys. Like, this is only for a couple years, hopefully. Famous last words, right? It's like, it's only for a couple years, and then, like, 13 years. No, because, like, he's not going to be, like, 13 years old and still in our bed. Like, that would be weird, and that's, like, a sign of, like, I feel like other issues. So yeah, and that's, like, what my, even the Archie's preschool teacher says. Like, she's a little older, so experienced in all of this and childcare and childcare education, and she says the same thing. Like, when I've told her stuff like this, like, she's like, don't even worry about it. Like, they grow out of it. Like, they will grow up. It is all normal. Did I even talk about my thoughts about going back to work? Okay, so it's funny. I think I started off this episode talking about that, but I didn't really dive in about, like, how I'm feeling. So, like I said, this maternity leave was so different than my first time. Also, especially since I love my job and I love my team, I've really missed working. I know this sounds crazy. I don't know if it's that I miss working or if I, well, obviously I do miss working. I love to work, but I also just miss my routine. I think when you're at home, like, I always joke that I'm cosplaying as a stay-at-home mom these days, because my only job right now is to take care of the house and take care of the baby. So I do that. So I'm pretty much, not only job, guys, I'm sorry if that came off a certain way. I mean, like, I meant that as in, like, I'm not working and taking care of the house and taking care of the kids, because let's be real, when I'm working, I'm still doing all that stuff. I just don't, like, it's not the only thing I do. Not only, but you know what I mean? I'm not doing it in conjunction with also working full time. So I've been cosplaying as a stay-at-home mom, and all the respect in the world, it's hard. I think it's also hard because it's not that you're not having adult conversations every day. Like, I do have adult conversations every day. Like, I call my friend, I've voice note at least one friend every day. I get on the phone with at least one friend every day, like, just by chance. Like, I don't plan it that way. Like, and I'm a pretty social person, so I'm part of, like, a bunch of different groups, and so I seek it out. But if I, like, wasn't like that, it would just be really hard not to have a community. Or, like, I don't know, I also, like, I'm a human being that thrives on routine. Sorry, one second, I'm, like, trying to feed her. Okay, latch girlfriend, and she's latched. Okay, so yeah, I don't, it's hard. It's kind of lonely, like, to be honest. Like, yeah, and of course there's, like, mom groups and everything you can join. But when things aren't routine, it can drift. I can see how it can drift into loneliness. So I just really miss my routine. So I'm actually really excited to get back to work. I've been, like, texting on and off with my boss, and I've been like, hey, what's up? Everything kosher? Like, do you have any work for me? And he's, like, been so sweet and, like, has given me, like, no pressure type, has given me little things here and there. Like, he's like, if you want, like, to send me some ideas on this, or if you want to put together a small plan on that, like, he's, like, sent me a few things here and there, and I've, like, ate it up and, like, got so excited. Because, again, like I said, I do love my job. So it's, I am looking forward to going back. I also think my sentiment around going back to work, it's not that I don't love my daughter. It's because I've had such a great postpartum experience that I feel like I can handle, like, emotionally handle going back to work. I think when you don't have a great postpartum experience, and maybe you're struggling with postpartum anxiety or postpartum depression, I mean, it's hard to just even wash, like, take a shower. So can you imagine, like, with your postpartum mood disorder, also going back to work while also, like, caring or worrying for your child? Like, it's a lot. And I get that. I think going back to work has been so exciting for me because I've had such a good postpartum experience.
Okay, guys. Wow. It sounds so much better when I talk, like, really close into the mic. So sorry if it sounded like I was kind of far away the whole episode. I was just like, I was kind of far away from the mic. I was juggling Evie, whatever. But I want to tone it down a little bit because Evie is asleep and she's asleep upstairs with me. My office is also on the second floor. Gonna have to figure that out for when I go back to work, because I'm gonna have to yell. I don't have to yell. What am I talking about? I can take a call. I can take a call quietly, right? I don't know. I'm just a very expressive person. So sometimes I tend to get a little bit loud, or like I laugh like really loud, or I get really crazy. So anyway, she's asleep, so I'm going to be quiet. I just want to let everyone know though, if your first time postpartum was gnarly, like mine was, it doesn't have to be that way the second time around. Okay, guys, I'm going to tone it down because Evie is asleep in the nursery / kids room, and that is upstairs with me in my office, so I can't like yell into the mic like I was the whole episode, so I'm gonna tone it down a little bit. But what I wanted to say is that if you had a gnarly first time postpartum like I did, it doesn't have to be gnarly the second time around, okay? And maybe I should do a dedicated episode on the things I did to line up like a better postpartum experience the second time. Again, this is just my experience. Everyone has different experiences. You could probably copy paste the same things I did and have a different experience. That is life. That is human nature. So take everything with a grain of salt. But I did. And like, I think a lot of it is also mindset work. Like on top of all the things I did, like I lined up postpartum doula. I had my mom. I have a lot more friends. Like I have a lot more like close friends that I can text and call and leave voice notes of like just need when I need support, which I've done. And it's been amazing. Like shout out to all the girls that were there for me this time around. Like so good. Just knowing that I can like call someone and say like, hey, I'm having a really bad, like, can you just listen? And I've done that. And actually like coming up, like I'm so excited. I'm meeting up with a couple girls on Friday night. Like I, you know, been texting some friends being like, hey, I've been really craving like girl time. Like, does anyone want to get together for like a cocktail and drinks and like good food and just like enjoy each other's company, you know? So I'm really excited. We're all going to get together and just like have like a nice night. And then a lot of it was also mindset work. Like I just kept telling myself, like, I'm going to have a better experience. I am not going to have anxiety. And of course, I still have anxiety. Like the other night, I had like pretty bad, intense anxiety, like laid in bed type thing, like waiting for someone to break in and murder me and kidnap my kids, you know, just the huge. But you know, my whole body was like tense the entire night. Like, and I think one other night, I had like a panic attack, or at least the beginnings of a panic attack. I had like a really bad allergic reaction. Like it was just, but that's not every day. Like, have I had my moments? Yes. But what I'm saying is that like my first time around, the bad days were like my everyday. And now they are just the bad days, like the anomalies in the days. Like most of my life is good and even keeled, and like I'm not stressed and I feel good and happy. And then on like the off day or off night, like I'm a bit more triggered, a bit more activated. And it's just also communication too. Like I've been communicating more with John about how I'm feeling, and that just helps both of us. Like, because it sucks to just be snippy for no reason and snarky. Like sometimes, like when I get really, really stressed, I get really snippy, and I hate that about myself. I'm not nice. Like I am not nice when I'm stressed. That sucks. So when I am feeling like that, I usually like I'm snippy, and then I say, I'm sorry. I'm just feeling really stressed. And he's really understanding. So yeah, maybe I'll do a deeper dive on that, but it's been so good. Like, I guess like my 3 to 4 month recap, like overall, is that I'm in love with my baby. I am happy. Like, I love my life. I love all my friends. A lot of stuff is going, a lot is going well for me. I guess the one thing I am dreading is the death date of my dog, Daisy. So last summer, I lost my 12-year-old dog, Daisy. She was really special to me. I have a lot of feelings. I feel like I have a lot of things I feel like I haven't processed. I feel like I did the thing where I like put it under the rug. And I heard this really good analogy at church last Sunday. Actually, my church last Sunday, we had a really cool service. They had two Christian therapists come in, and the entire service was really just talking about like therapy and counseling and couples therapy and marriage. And he was just, you know, the head pastor was asking the therapist like all these hard questions. And one of the analogies that the therapist gave was that when you brush things under the rug and you keep brushing it under the rug, eventually you're going to trip over the mound under the mound that has formed of the rug. I butchered that so bad, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, basically they were saying like, you can't brush things under the rug. It will eventually come out. But yeah, I feel like I did that with like my dog's death. So, yeah, I'm kind of dreading that a little bit, but instead I'm trying to get excited for Archie's birthday because all of that happened around his birthday. So I'm trying to look at the month of June as this like really exciting, positive month. Archie is so excited for his birthday. He's finally old enough to like understand that it's his birthday. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think we're going to do like a space theme. I think he wants like a space themed birthday. He's really into space. So I'm really excited to start planning that. And then coincidentally, like, so for Archie's first birthday, I invited like my whole family to come. And then his second birthday, I invited my whole family to come. And then third birthday, everyone expected to come again. So I did, I had everybody. So his birthday is also like low key has become kind of a family, like a big family reunion, which has been really nice. Like, I do love my extended family. I wish that we lived closer to my grandma and my uncle, and then I have like my cousin. So they live up in Massachusetts, like Boston area. So they are going to come down for Archie's birthday like they did last year. And it's going to be fun. Like, oh, and hopefully my sister. So my sister and her boyfriend, I hope they come. Yeah. So a little low-key family reunion. I have a lot to look forward to. I just hope that maybe emotionally I can kind of figure out. And, you know, maybe I have been needing a therapist for a while. I was just talking about this with my friend Samantha. You like never want to wait until you're in crisis to like look for a therapist, right? It's because then you're like unpacking years and years and years of stuff like in that first session, and you haven't even gotten to like the issue, or you're getting to the issue and the therapist has no background on you, doesn't know who you are. So I've gotten a couple of recommendations here and there, but nothing has felt like a fit. Although I really liked the therapists that my church like brought up on stage. So I got their info, and I've been kind of wanting to reach out, but it's like getting the courage to reach out too. I feel like sometimes I have like, no, like I got the courage to call. Sounds so dumb, but I had to like call to sign Archie up for swim lessons. And like I had the webpage up until I finally got the courage to call, and I did, and I signed him up, and we start this Saturday. I'm really excited. So he is not excited. You know, we did swim lessons once when he was like 18 months old, and he like scream cried the whole time. So I did it like maybe three times, and I just gave up. I was like, screw this, I'm not doing this anymore. But so he's got to learn how to swim. Like, we are around water sometimes, like we go to pools. I want him to learn how to swim. It's like an important life-saving skill, don't you think? So I'm going to try. I'll let you know how that goes. I'm sure I will record an episode between starting it and finishing it, and I can give you guys an update. Anyway, I don't know how long this episode's been going. It's pretty long. I guess I had a lot to talk about. I've also been loving baby wearing. Maybe I'll save that whole, you know, topic for another episode, but I love baby wearing so much. It's something I wish I was better at when Archie was a baby. I feel like a lot would have been different. I've been loving specifically the Wild Bird Ariel carrier. So good, so light, and like easy to put on, like stupid proof. That's usually what I've been telling people. I'm like, this is stupid proof. I've been really loving it. And then the Solly baby, I didn't like, but I do like now. That has a little bit of a learning curve. And if I can leave you with one tip when it comes to baby wearing, is that you want the strap up higher than you think you do. So like basically right underneath your boobs, like pretty your natural waist, that's where you want that like main strap to go to put your baby in, especially when they're tiny. And then the other tip is close enough to kiss. So you want to be able to kiss your baby on the head. And that's how you know that they are positioned where they're supposed to be. And that's where it's like comfortable to baby carry. Because I know a lot of people like, and this happened to me, was like, I couldn't figure out how to baby carry. It was so uncomfortable for me and for Archie that we just like didn't do it. And it sucks. It's so good. Because they can't walk for like the longest time. Oh my gosh. It was so annoying like having to carry him like all the time or put him in a stroller. It was either like carry him or put him in a stroller. But with baby wearing, it's like the best of both worlds, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. You know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe. Send this episode to a mom friend. Send the show to a mom friend. Spreading the word is how you help the podcast grow. Follow me on Instagram at Lena Forrestal. I love hearing from my listeners. Drop in, send me a DM, say hello. And that's it. Stay tuned for this Thursday. Oh, wait. So like tomorrow for part 2 on my discussion about Tradwives with the one, the only Joe Piazza. She also wrote a book called Sicilian Inheritance, which we will also talk about in the episode. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Love you. Love you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life and talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger, photographer, and podcaster by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. You can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Stay in touch by following us on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast and Lena Forrestal. Thanks again, and stay tuned next week for the next episode. Bye!